all right, because we have no plumbing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, you kind of need toilets.
So wait. So this is first there's the devastating flood situation.
Exactly.
And now there's this.
The mini flood
situation. So you had to leave.
We had to leave.
Where'd you go?
At Valley Forge Casino.
You took the kids to the casino. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Ka-ching.
Well, no, we had a suite. I never stay there because we're so close. So they were very happy and accommodating to us. Got the kids ice cream. We had dinner.
Ice cream, there you go.
Yeah. We were all
then
good.
Then you put them to bed and then...
And you went downstairs.
I had a very good weekend that way.
Did the wife
I crushed the poker game this weekend.
Ooh.
But all right. That's not the end.
There's more.
We go home. I go home on Saturday to meet the plumbers. I brought in an emergency plumber to try to identify where the breaks were. And anyway, I pay them. And I somehow, things happen. I left my wallet on the top of my car and drove off.
Oh, and y'all got on me about the phone. So how does this work?
So wait. So I'm at lunch, yeah, right, with my friend Mark, and we're getting ready to finish, leave, pay the bill. And my phone goes off, and it's Neiman Marcus saying, I just charged $2,000 at Neiman Marcus.
Wow.
And so I think, because I'm getting a lot of spam stuff, that it's just somebody trying to get me to give them information, and I ignore it. Mm. I go then to pay for lunch, and there's no wallet, and then the phone blows up. American Express, Visa, MasterCard, everybody's calling saying I'm using my credit cards. This is 50 minutes after I lost my wallet.
Doesn't take long.
But what are the chances that a sophisticated thief is going to be just behind my car, grabs the wallet, and takes off and starts trying feverishly to spend it? Yeah, yeah. One of the places was a wig dealer in Ohio.
Damn.
A wig dealer in Ohio.
Right, so when did you shut everything down?
I go home and I start calling credit card companies. Some of them are easy. Like right on your app on your phone, you hit card lost or stolen, and it's done. It's dead. Others make you jump through hoops. And then you call and they say, well, what's your credit card number? And I say, I don't know. I don't have my credit card. And they say, well, we can't authenticate you. Then they say, okay, there's a way to authenticate you. And then they say, we're going to ask you three questions.
Right.
Where did you live when you were 19 years old? And then they give you three addresses. And two of them, you might have lived there. So I gave them the wrong answer. So they said, we're definitely never going to authenticate you. And you're going to have to go to a Bank of America branch. Well, this is Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
It's not open.
None are open. Yeah. See you on Monday. I said, you're going to risk they're going to get you. They're going to get you this weekend. And they said, nah, we're fine. We're not cutting the cards off.
I was getting ready to say, because I can't, well, we're on YouTube, but we're on radio. You were screwed. You can't go home. You're staying at a casino. You can't spend your money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, y'all were screwed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it all worked out. And now, just like if this happens to you, there's a moral. You got to call the credit card companies and cut those off. You also, I called the local police and made a police report just so that there was a report that I actually lost my wallet. Now, wouldn't you know, the only thing I didn't do, right? I didn't call my bank. And apparently, I had left an old blank check in the wallet.
You're just an irresponsible guy.
And they filled out the check, and they went to the bank, and they collected $7,000. Oh, my God. What a weekend, folks. It was...
YouTube audience.
It was a tough weekend. I was a little depressed. Here's the thing, when you're a victim of fraud, fear not. Credit card companies will cover you. The banks will pay the bank charge. They'll put the money back eventually into your account once they're satisfied that it was fraud. I mean, they used an old check. Like, my wife's name changed when she became a citizen of the United States. And so we have new checks with her new name. And so they were using an old check, old name. the bank's at fault for that.
I'm actually shocked that people still know how to use checks.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, that was kind of surprising.
Yeah, thieves are—they're very good at that. So anyway, that was my crazy weekend.
So I think via the law of averages, you're done with Calamity by now. I think you've been—I
hope so.
The shadow of whatever it is that has covered over you, the pox upon you, whatever it's been.
Well, they say things come in threes, right?
Well, you've been. How many is it? The flood, the plumbing thing, and this is three things, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Does the credit card count as a third?
No, that's the lost wallet.
So the lost wallet counts as the third thing.
Yeah.
With the plumbing.
Yes. There was two plumbings, independent
plumbing
things.
So hold on. You left the wallet on the top of your car.
That's what I'm thinking.
You drove all from your house.
Crazy as it sounds, as I'm backing up out of the garage, my friend Mark, who was with me, takes a picture of the back of my car. Like, why did you do that? And then he starts to expand it, but it was so pixelated I couldn't tell if that shadow was a shadow or was that lump my wallet. But I'm going to assume it was my wallet because my wallet's gone. And so,
how far do you think you got before it fell off the car?
Well, that's who knows. I mean, I don't drive like a baby.
I'm a little
zoom zoomy, and so you wouldn't think it would last long.
So I'm thinking the wallet on your car. Zoom out of there, probably fell off rather immediately, almost.
I don't think it fell off in my driveway, if that's what you're implying.
Yeah, not the driveway.
But
definitely on the road from the house.
And at some point, I will say
this. Because your road kind of does this, right?
And at some point, it was so beautiful out that I decided, hey, I'm going to put the top down. And I put the top down so it could have flipped it off there. It might not have fallen off because, my wallet's pretty heavy. Okay, folks, we're going to move on to
you. Was there cash in the wallet or was just the credit cards and stuff?
There was cash. I told you I was at the casino the night before.
Ooh,
I told you I won.
All that's gone?
Dean. Yeah, it was not a good day. 215-227-2727.
Yo, Dean needs your business today.
If you want to have an accident in my favor and then call me. No, just joking.
You got to pay the plumbing bill, y'all. Y'all got to call. Dean's struggling.
Line one, we have Madam. Madam?
What?
Is that M-A-D-E-M?
Madame.
Hey, what you call me, man?
Madam?
That's what it says.
No, man, it's Matum, brother.
Matum. That was Matum.
You read like Trump, man.
No, I want. My assistant wrote Matum. I think it should be Matoom. Matum.
Is it M-A? Was it?
Me too.
Yeah, okay. Me too.
Well.
All right, Matum, good morning.
They didn't make these phones so I can squeeze through them. But the thing is, we are talking about a jurisdiction thing when it comes to the 11th Amendment. Is it right that you cannot sue a citizen of another state, right, in your state court? Am I correct so far?
No, you're not. You can sue anybody you want in state court. The out-of-state defendant has the right to remove the case. It's perfectly fine in state court. It's a state action. You know, somebody took something from you, you can sue them in your state, in state court. But if the amount in controversy exceeds $75,000 and the out-of-state defendant chooses to remove the case to federal court, then under diversity of citizenship, they may do so. And you have no ability to keep it in state court.
How does a person establish that they're a citizen of a state then?
Well, it depends. If they're a corporation, it's their state of incorporation. So if they're incorporated in the state of Delaware, then that's where they're a citizen. If it's an LLC, then it's where the partner lives, where any of the partners live of the LLC. So it's a complicated question you ask that can be diced and figured out by a man of competence, such as myself. If we were to talk about the actual facts, which we're not going to do right this minute, but you're welcome, Matum, to send me an email to dean@myphillylawyer.com or Give us a call at the office during the week at 215-227-2727, and then we can dive into your particulars.
Well, Dean, I was talking about, like, also, if I'm in New York and you're in Pennsylvania and you come to Pennsylvania and do something, you know, some civil
yep,
wrong
yep.
to me, and you go back to your house in New York,
yep.
can I sue you in Pennsylvania court if you live in New York?
Yes. Mm. Again, you can sue a New Yorker.
State court.
Yes, you can bring a New Yorker to Pennsylvania state court. But as I said, if the amount in controversy exceeds $75,000 and they truly are a citizen of the state of New York, then they can have the matter removed to federal court under diversity of citizenship jurisdiction.
Right. And last thing, Manuel, did he take any responsibility for us losing this last election?
Whom?
Manuel, you help us win the one before, but this one, you didn't put your foot down, bro.
Oh, yeah, it's my
fault. All these immigrants.
I'm sorry.
You didn't do it. You let them go and do their thing, and now look, it's biting them in their butt. But I think if you would have been, like, get down and lay down, your bodegas may not be so comfortable in our neighborhood if you vote against us like you did before, man. I heard his, and they took your advice, and they went and voted for Biden. But this time,
yep.
Well,
we're all living with that.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It is tough.
Look at James Comey this week has been indicted
by 14 members of a grand jury.
Yeah, for a very specific thing. He allegedly lied to a prior grand jury, or he suborned perjury. He encouraged others to lie in order to make a better case against the president.
There's nothing there, Dean.
I'm just saying what is alleged.
I know.
There was a 5-year statute of limitation. It was like
4 years, you know.
4 years and
365 days. Yeah. Yep, well. Yep. All right, Mattoon, be well. Give
Thank
us
you,
a call
brother.
If you need me. 215.
I'll try to be louder next time.
215.
If there's a next time.
227-2727.
Did that go away?
The number for all things legal. Yes, okay. Of course.
So you haven't missed one yet? Dean, my parents celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary last night. We were having dinner. Thank you. And you know what they said to me?
What?
They said this to me, and they made sure I heard it. We've seen Dean's commercial twice.
Ooh. Oh, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback. A lot of people have seen it. People have seen it on ESPN, BET, the History Channel. We're on a lot of cable channels and streaming.
And
so,
it's getting a lot of eyes, man.
Yeah, it is. And I'm very pleased with that commercial because it says what I want, which is, you know, there are people out there that try to glom onto our reputation. And we have a stellar reputation.
Award-winning reputation.
Yeah. We are the gold medal winners, the top dogs when it comes to personal injury litigation.
Are you now?
Yes.
Are you the top dog?
Yes. Well, I'm the top dog not in a brand, but in the way we use that to mean the best.
Yeah, not that guy.
That guy did not win. But we did. And so there are all these people glomming on, and I just wanted to do a commercial where I made it clear, because even people listening to court radio, they'll call and say, hey, are you the Philly lawyer? The Philly lawyer? They don't get that it's my Philly lawyer. And if you don't put the my there, you may get somebody else thinking, because we get those calls all week long. They'll call saying, I didn't hear from my lawyer, and I don't want the settlement they're offering. It's not enough money. And when we dig deep into it, it's not our client.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're being represented by me, but they're being represented by somebody else. And the whole point of the commercial is to highlight that, and that I think we've accomplished.
Call the Nuggeting Law John. That would be Dean. The misspelled Nuggeting John.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I promised you we're going to get back to something we covered a few weeks ago. We have a follow-up to a guest we had on the show maybe 3 weeks ago, Chad Lassiter, the executive director of the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission. Nice guy. and gave us a lot of good information. The commission handles discrimination in the areas of employment, housing, commercial property, education, and more. So we were talking at the time about the scholarship at the University of Pennsylvania Law School named after Sadie Alexander, mm-hmm. the first black female graduate of the law school and a civil rights activist. And Penn was going to put the kibosh on the Sadie Alexander scholarship. Well, Penn has announced a new postgraduate fellowship program named after Sadie Alexander and a new full tuition scholarship program. It's postgraduate fellowship program. They also now have a full-time tuition scholarship program for incoming students with the greatest financial need. The new programs are different. The Alexander Fellowship will provide 2 years of funding for graduates whose work advances civil rights. The prior program funded tuition scholarships for current students who wanted to focus on racial justice and honor Alexander's legacy. So they're a little bit different, but both programs are open to students of any race or ethnicity. The school declined to release how many fellowships and full-time scholarships will be available. So I just wanted to set the record straight with regard to Penn. It looks like that has flushed itself out to some extent.
I'm amazed at how, well, I don't want to say I'm amazed now, but I've watched how a certain entity has gone from one Ivy League school and others to stick them up, so to speak, or to challenge them. But this is his university. He went to university. I'm talking about the president who went to the University of Pennsylvania. And it's a school that they've not touted the fact that that's where it's like they don't brag about it.
No.
You know?
No. Well, not too many people brag about, you know. Well, everybody from MAGA brags about having met Mr. Trump, but, I mean, that's about it. Everybody else wants to take a shower.
He doesn't hold academia on high regard is what I feel.
Yeah, I don't understand why this whole anti-education thing is happening. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a plumber or electrician or,
nothing
you know, in the service industry or whatever, or not going to college. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, it's not a negative to go to college, you know, to get educated.
Some folks see it that way.
To grow and to expand your mind. That's not a negative.
Well, I think the issue is not necessarily, you know, it's the occurring of college debt.
Yeah. I mean, well, colleges have become businesses, and that many colleges have become businesses, and that's unfortunate. And that, I'm not, yeah, they're in everything on both sides, whether it's on the right or the left, there mm-hmm. are things that make sense and that are good. I'm looking for that person who can bridge the good ideas on the right and the left and have us all as on the same team.
Those days are gone, Dean.
I don't believe they're gone. I'm an optimist. I don't believe they're gone. I think that that's what we should strive for.
I said that before November 5th. I'm an optimist. People got comments.
Can make mistakes. There's enough people that I think realize that it was a mistake, okay, that we've gone too far to the right and that we need to have some balance. And I think you're going to see it in the midterm elections where where more Democrats will be elected to the House and Senate than you think.
I think he's going to put something to jam up the process and he will never leave.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's a conspiracy theory. I won't get behind.
Well, it's the plan.
It's the plan. Yeah, man.
Steve Bannon, let everybody know that there is a plan.
215-227-2727. If you need lawyering, that's the number to call. Let's talk to, who am I going to talk to first? Let's talk to Marvin on line 3.
Morning, Marvin.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Dean.
Yes.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Yes, I have a question, right? All over the internet, they've been advertising in the state of Pennsylvania, we can now get insurance without going through an agent. Is that true?
Many insurance companies are direct purchase nowadays. You just contact the company and now I'm not suggesting that's in your best interest, by the way, but yes, you can purchase insurance directly from the insurance company. Now, if you listen to me and, you know, you follow direction with regard to what I believe is the appropriate insurances to have in your policy, then you might be an educated buyer and you can do that. And frankly, far too often, agents don't do a good enough job explaining to their to their customers what the benefits are of various line items on an insurance policy. So I'm not sure you get a good, you know, I think really the only way to get information about this is to be a listener of Court Radio, because we kind of tackle this on a regular basis. But yes, the answer, the quick answer is yes.
Okay. Thank you, Dean.
All right,
Take
Marvin.
Care. Have a good day.
You too, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Dean,
bye-bye.
Carmel Cop wants to know, do you have wallet on your phone? We're back to the whole scammer wallet thing.
Who is that? Carmel Cop?
Caramel Cop.
Caramel Cop. Do I have
wallet on your phone? You know, the wallet with all your credit cards electronically.
No. Yes. It's an Apple iPhone.
It's
I
an
have
Apple
a wallet.
iPhone, so you
I don't
wallet.
Have every credit card on there, but I have a few so that I can tap. Okay. You know, when you're someplace and you bing, 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 and you tap.
Right.
You have to have a card associated with it for your phone to be able to do
all
that.
Right, so when all this stuff was snatched from you, that didn't work any longer, right? They canceled that, too. Apple Pay, you couldn't use
anything.
Correct.
Well, as soon as you get a new credit card,
right.
The old cards in your wallet die.
Right.
And then the new cards, they offer you when they get populated into your phone, whether you want to go back onto the wallet.
All right, that answers that question. So the bottom line is, you were screwed. You couldn't use any. You couldn't spend anything. You couldn't pay for anything. You had lost cash.
Not necessarily.
You couldn't go home.
No, because there are certain credit cards that I have that are available out there that have a component to them which is purely electronic. So you have your physical card.
Right.
With a number,
mm-hmm.
But then you have a component on your phone that's electronic, digital, that has a different number. Well, that piece of it doesn't go away when you tell them to send you clothes and send you a new card, a physical card.
Right.
But the days are coming where those physical cards we're never going to have them. We don't need them. You're just going to have that digital piece on your phone. Now, of course, there are those who will say, well, somebody can walk by you if you don't have your phone set up the right way and they can suck that stuff right off. That's probably true. That was a bad way to phrase, but anyway, good.
Well, my brother last night when we were paying for everything, they brought his car back and said, your card's locked. So, hold on, let me take care of that. And I said, and his car was really heavy. He's a banker. And I said, I guess I'm not making enough money. I've never been able to lock my card.
Yeah, I can lock my
lock my card.
On almost every app that's associated
it.
With a credit card, you can hit a button and lock it.
I never thought about that before.
Yep.
Yeah. So your brother is smart.
Yeah, very smart. Yeah. Eric's very smart.
Did I just hear me say
I'm watching us on YouTube. We have listeners that are asking you questions.
Let's talk to Velda. Velda, line two, Eric.
Good morning to the whole team. How are you?
Good morning, Velda.
We're good.
What is your question of the day?
Well, I was in Clifton Heights driving my car in an 8 o'clock morning somewhere I was going. And there was a school bus that was parked on the opposite side of the street. There were no flashers, no people, no nothing. So I slowly proceeded to pass the school bus. I get a letter in the mail for $300-some ticket because what I think happened was the driver or whoever was sleeping at the wheel, and as I proceeded to go through, they put that flasher thing on, the stop sign,
yep,
and caught me going. But I think this is a money grab because this happened in July. I had to appeal it. I'm going to appeal it because I would never have done that. And the appeal I had to send to some part of Virginia. This happened in Clifton Heights.
This is one of those camera tickets. How do they do it? I wonder how they do a camera ticket for a school bus. I guess maybe
because the cameras are there, and as soon as it comes out,
but they don't have cameras everywhere.
Pretty much, a lot of stoplights.
Well, it's not a money grab, but it may be unjustified. It may be that you have a winning claim. I think the camera probably, I don't know what causes the camera to trigger under those circumstances, but I hear your argument that when you first initiated the pass, when the front of your car passed the front of the bus, nothing was on. And at some point while you're traversing down the length of the bus, he flips it on and triggers the catch of you.
Yeah. And I think the driver driver who he or she was lunching at the time.
Luncheon.
Haven't heard that in a minute.
I haven't heard luncheon since I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Velda. God bless you.
That was good.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, man. All right, Velda. Listen.
Over 70, you're going to get some of them bangers. I just wanted to know, have you heard of this? Because I'm still waiting.
Well, I mean, of course, I've heard of the camera tickets, and they're becoming more and more common in more and more areas, like speeding and red lights. And now you're telling me school buses. So I learned something today. But you know, you can fight it, and let's see how it goes. Sounds like to me you're going to take it to the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania if you have to.
You, Velda.
I think it's a money grab.
All right. Follow back and let us know how you did.
All right. I will. I'm a grandmother. I would never go through a school bus sign.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
We got you.
Yep. Bye. I'm feeling you. Thank you, Velda.
Bye-bye.
You got time.
No time at all. We're up against break, folks. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Hang out and give us a call at 215-227-2727. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes, and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.
More legal answers? Here's more court radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yeah, baby. Good morning. This is Dean Weitzman. I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
Yes, sirree, Bob, we are, and we're also live on YouTube, and if you'd like to watch, you can do so simply by going to the My Philly Lawyer website and clicking on Court Radio. You'll find us. We were digging into the Penn Scholarship in the first half of the show, and also my bad weekend. So if you're just joining us, I lost my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big mess, and
it was more than that, the plumbing, you know, yeah, the backup.
It's a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff.
Bad toilets, bad money.
Bad toilets, a bad deal, man.
Yeah. And then University of Pennsylvania has actually reinstated the Sadie Alexander scholarship.
Good
and then
them.
They added a fellowship, and it sounds like things that people's incredulous responses to their cave-in has had a positive effect.
Well, that's another example of the people speaking up and getting what they want here at Penn.
Jimmy Kimmel.
The people spoke.
Yeah, the people spoke.
Which is interesting. I almost want you to really explain freedom of speech. The First Amendment and how it does or doesn't protect you in private companies.
Is that another show? Is that now?
Yeah.
We can do that now?
No. We'll save that for another show. Right. But I will say this. You know, there are limitations to one's ability to speak freely, okay? There are limitations. The obvious one, okay? You can't scream fire in a theater unless there's a fire, right? Because people are going to get hurt. You can't induce somebody to commit a crime and because you become a conspirator. And, you know, so there are limitations where free speech enters into criminal behavior. But generally speaking, otherwise, you can have an unfavorable opinion about someone or something, and you're free to voice it in this country.
That's right.
And so our rights to free speech are being infringed, or possibly they're attempting to infringe it by knocking out Jimmy Kimmel, who was talking. Let's assume for a moment he was talking in a manner in which was not nice about whatever
the incident that happened.
Yeah, what was
the assassination
name?
With Charlie Kirk?
Charlie Kirk. There you go. That's how fast people go out of my mind.
I see.
Right. Yeah. Kirk is killed, and let's say that Kimmel said something which was
inappropriate.
You know, not nice. Yeah. That's his right to do. That's his right to do. And so he exercised his right of free speech, and it's a slippery slope, as they say in law school, in constitutional law. If you start to go down that where you start to infringe it in certain ways, it quickly can, you know, become a serious issue where there is no longer freedom of speech.
Right. But the reason why I bring that up is, remember way back in the day when they were starting the Conners and Roseanne
Barr
had said something and they
about Valerie Jarrett.
Yeah. And they killed her off the show. They fired her.
Well, listen, if somebody's working for me and they were to, let's say, get impatient with somebody and start screaming at them and calling them some derogatory word, that's their right to do as a citizen of this country. It's not their right to do as an employee of my Philly lawyer.
That's the negative.
And I would fire them. I would fire them right away. They'd be gone.
That's the other side of the Constitution. You suffer the consequences of your freedom of speech.
Yeah. And so, all right, you got me to answer your question, okay? You happy now? You happy? You don't have freedom of speech as an employee. You have freedom of speech, and you can't arrest you for it, but I can certainly fire you for it.
Yeah, I can call Dean all kinds of things. It's my right to do that, and then Dean lets me go.
Yes, he will not be here next Saturday, folks. We'll find somebody else.
Let's not put that into the universe. I want to say something. Camden, the city of Camden, y'all, went all summer without one incident of violent crime. First time ever. Yeah. Now, summer's over, and what I wanted to ask you, do you ever get any cases of amusement park accidents or anything like that?
Does that come through? Yes.
This is the first summer I'd heard of no accidents at an amusement park.
Well, that's not true. It was.
Yeah.
It was.
There was a big one. I missed it then.
Yeah, you missed it.
Did they come to your office?
Well, there's big ones, and then there's, you know, medium ones that people still get messed up, but you don't hear about it. It's not newsworthy. Nobody died. They didn't lose an arm, but they got injured. Well, that happens all the time.
All the time.
I have somebody right now who, it's not an amusement park. It's one of those jumpy places. You know, where you jump into like foam pits and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
In New Jersey. And this little boy broke his leg in half. In half. And so, yeah. And then,
These fun zones where they jump into all the balls? Different
one of
those things.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then tried to say, well, he can't sue us because, they signed a waiver. That waiver doesn't mean anything. You know,
people don't know that.
A 5-year-old signed a waiver? What are you talking about, a waiver?
Does he sign or his parents sign?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And it wasn't even his parents. It was his aunt. It was a guardian. And she wasn't a legal guardian. She just happened to have control of him that moment. Wow. So, okay. You know, come on now. So, yeah.
It happens every summer.
You get every summer we get those kind of cases. All right, let's talk to some guests, our esteemed guests, the listeners.
We love you.
Line two, we got Mel. Hey, Mel.
Hey, Bean. How are you?
The dogs out.
Yeah. Who let the dogs out?
If you were good, you'd have that up there already.
Yeah.
All right, Mel. What's your question or comment, dear?
Great. Good. We're good.
Okay. Great. I was recently in an accident as of July 2nd, where I was sitting at Roosevelt Boulevard and Adams, sitting at the light. It's about, I guess I want to say about 3, maybe close to 3, 2:30 in the afternoon. And this guy sitting at the light, he comes and slams right into the back of the car. Mm-hmm. I see him beating up the steering wheel and dropping the F-bomb before he gets out the car.
Yep.
He gets out the car.
Were you scared? Were you scared?
Of course. Well, yeah, because I don't know what's going on back there. He's dropping the F-bomb and I can see it.
Yep. So I'd have been scared.
I got out anyway because I knew that I was around a million other cars, and it probably was cameras right there. And I could smell the liquor. He immediately says, okay, well, I got a driver's license, but I don't have any insurance. I said, okay. So I circled around the car. The car looked like he slid down Broad Street on the side of everybody's car, on his driver, on his passenger side.
He skimmed everybody.
The whole van was smashed in, and then he went up underneath my car, so the front of his car on the passenger side was also damaged, and I don't know what damage was done to my car. However, I am feeling some discomfort, but again, because he didn't have insurance, I just kept on going about my business. And I had 2 other passengers in the car.
Here comes the favorite subject.
Hammer's about to drop.
What did you have, or what didn't you have?
Yeah. You have insurance on your car, right?
Right.
I have liability.
No uninsured or underinsured motorist.
But I did have it.
You did have
but
it.
But I did.
Okay.
I did.
So what are we talking about then?
Because I carry liability and I can't afford right now all the other stuff, I did pick up uninsured and underinsured.
Now you have it, or did you have it on the day of the time?
I had it.
Okay.
I wasn't sure, but I did call
and
find out that I did have it.
Okay.
So what do I do?
Well, first of all, why are you having this conversation with me on September the 27th when this accident was July 2nd? Why didn't I hear from you over the July 4th weekend?
I got a bigger picture that I need to talk to you off the air about. And you know why.
Okay.
So what had happened was.
All right. Well, here's what if you were injured in that July accident, the fact that you have not treated for 2.5 or 3 months is debilitating, but does not mean you don't have a claim. It certainly gives an argument to the insurance company who's being asked to pay that claim for your pain and suffering. They're gonna have an out now. They're gonna have an ability to say, well, if she were injured, she would have treated, and this was no treatment, and she's had an intervening issue, and that's really what caused her. You know, you give them all of those arguments to make, and it's a more of an uphill battle, but it doesn't mean you don't have a case. So I would invite you to give me a call during the week at the same number you called for today, or send me shoot me a quick email to dean@myphillylawyer.com. I'll jump on the phone with you over the weekend if need be. We can talk about the facts of your case. But if you have uninsured motorist and you're struck by a drunk driver who's uninsured, there is a claim against your own carrier. If you're limited tort, you'll need to prove that you sustained a permanent and serious injury. If you're full tort, any injury is compensable as if you were suing the at-fault driver. And you bring that claim against your own carrier, and then your carrier can seek subrogation or repayment from the at-fault driver. You don't have to chase him around. The other question that comes to mind in a case like this is a dram shop case. What is a dram shop case? It is a claim against the bar. If he was drinking at a public establishment that has a license, they have a duty to make sure they cut him off before he's falling down drunk. And if they didn't do that, you might have a case against them. But again, 3 months later, you know, the facts get hazy and people disappear. And who knows if you'll ever be able to even establish the facts necessary to prove that now that you've waited this long, which is why the lesson to be learned from Mel, all the other 19,543 listeners this morning, is call me immediately.
Call him first.
215-227-2727. There are no dumb questions. There are no bad calls. We'll talk. You'll get an opportunity to express your concerns. I'll let you know whether you have a cause of action that is worthy of our time and attention. I may refer you to somebody else, but you'll get taken care of. And you'll have somebody who's an expert. It, you know, when I had my toilet back up, I didn't get out there with a pick and shovel. Okay?
Of course. This man don't bag his own groceries.
I did not get out there with a pick and shovel and say, hey, I'm gonna try to do this on my own. I called Roto-Rooter.
No, you didn't. That's the name? You didn't. Did they exist?
Listen,
no, yes.
They didn't.
They didn't still exist.
They did not pay for this plug. I am not giving it to them. Let them learn from this. All right. So, folks, we're done with Mel.
Mel, thank you.
Call me, Mel. All right.
I will.
All right.
Good luck, Mel.
In a few minutes. Thank you. Take care.
Peace.
Goodbye.
You went Roto-Rooter on us?
I'm not saying.
Not saying it again.
Lunching not. And that. This is a special day, bro.
They did not pay. Nina, line three. Nina?
Hi.
Hi, Nina.
Hi, Nina.
All right.
Hi.
What's going on, babe?
Hi, guys. Hi. I'm talking about a divorce out of media, out of Delaware County. Back before COVID, my husband divorced, it's his divorce, I don't know the terminology, but he served me with divorce papers. Then COVID happened, blah, blah, blah. So that being said, now I reached out to him. I was like, okay, let's get this going because life needs to be licensed at this point. And he's refusing to, move forward with his divorce and out in media. I think his attorney is Trusulo. Deborah Trusulo is his attorney, and he won't move forward because he knows that I'm entitled. Oh, by the way, we were married for 28 years, and he did 30 years with MTA Transit in New York City. So I'm entitled to half the pension, and because of that, I'm in this hole. I feel stuck because he won't move forward with his divorce. And I'm trying to figure out what should I do at this point.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Where is the divorce filed, in Pennsylvania or New Jersey?
In media.
In Pennsylvania. You did say that, Delaware County. Yeah. Okay. So my advice is that you need to get your own attorney if you don't – you know, it sounds like you don't have one and you're sort of just going along for the ride. You've done that for 20 –
No, I do have one. I had a young guy, you know, he's like maybe 5 or 6, a young attorney. So I just wanted to reach out to you guys before – I tell him what I need to do.
Does he specialize in divorce, or he's just a...
He's family law.
Family law?
Family law, okay. Yeah.
So
about 5 years old.
I mean, there are certainly things that you can do to put forth the cause of action before the court. It has to be more than 2 years unless it's by agreement. 2 years of separation, I believe. Mm-hmm. But again, those things change all the time, and I'm not a divorce attorney. It could be 1 year, but I'm pretty sure it was
I think it's 1 year.
Okay. I think it might be 2 years.
We did sign an agreement. I gave him the house. I just didn't give up the pension. Mm. We did sign an agreement back in 2019.
Well, I'm stuck on...
That might be enforceable.
Wait a minute. You signed an agreement back in 2019?
Yeah, I want to divorce you, but, you know, these bills, we had we had to get a quattro with KLM.
Yep, yep.
I did all that.
All right, so it sounds like you have a property settlement agreement and that the things have been divided up and that's all cool. You just want to get the actual paper that severs your legal relationship to him. You're no longer his wife. Yeah. That sounds like something your attorney should be able to do very easily. Mm. It's been more than 2 years. You have your property settlement done. There's no reason why you can't put forth before the court – the appropriate order to conclude your marriage based on everything you've told me. You just need somebody to do that, and they may want a little extra money to do it.
Yeah, there it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He's telling me he's not going to sign it. I'm not getting none of his money. They have to find him.
Oh, he hasn't signed the agreement?
No. He has to do the quattro. He said he's not going to do the quattro.
Well, then, then you need to get in front of a judge, and you need your attorney to get in front of a judge.
The attorney just wants money.
Yeah.
Because divorces are very expensive.
I know that.
Ooh, I do too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying. He tried to, take $10,000 and walk out of my life. And I'm like, no. You know, I want to go through the quattro and get the pension money I'm entitled to. But I don't understand why Media Courts hasn't sent me out a notice. Why they're not telling him, okay, come on, you guys got to get this going. It's an open case still, right?
Yes. But, you know, if you have... there's two things going on here. You've got your divorce, and then you've got the property settlement. And, you know, if they're joined at the hip, you need both to be done, unless your attorney files some sort of a motion to bifurcate those two claims. You're still not settled up on the property settlement, but you can bifurcate and then get the divorce part of it done. But all of this is a lot of legal work, and the attorney is going to want to get paid for it. So you bring in a sack of cash to your attorney. I'm sure he's going to figure out how to do this.
Yeah, sure will, in a hurry.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're up against the second break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. If you got questions, give us a call at 215-227-2727. I'll be back shortly. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes, and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. Yeah, baby. Okay, the wah-wahs are done. Stop the wah-wahs. Good morning. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host at Court Radio every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
Also Classics 107.9.
We're live on YouTube. We got YouTube questions. We got live YouTube questions. You can always join the live audience by going to the My Philly Lawyer website, clicking on the Court Radio button, and bada boom, you're here.
Bada bang.
We have another thing I wanted to bring up regarding City Council. Philadelphia City Council approves additional hiring protections for job seekers with criminal records.
Mm.
There you go. An amendment to the Fair Chance Hiring Law requires employers give written explanation for rejecting an applicant over a conviction. Changes to the Fair Chance Hiring Law would only allow a rejection due to a criminal history if employers can show that the nature of the conviction makes the job seeker a risk to being in that specific position.
Like a bank.
In that case, the hiring company would need to provide a written explanation to the applicant and give them the chance to assert their rights and provide evidence of rehabilitation. Misdemeanor convictions can now only be considered for 4 years after a conviction, down from 7, and felony convictions can still be considered for 7 years. Philadelphia has over 400,000 people with a conviction or some form of arrest as of 2022.
That's 3 years ago. I wonder what that number is now.
All right. Let's talk to Eddie on line 3. Oh, Eddie.
How you doing today?
Good, brother. How about yourself?
Hey, Eddie.
I'm doing pretty good. Cannot complain. So my problem is, my daughter buys a car from I don't know if I should say the name of the place where she brought the car from.
It's up to you. Whatever you want.
So when she brought the car less than a month ago, and already the transmission is gone. So the place is saying she didn't get the extended warranty, but the place is saying that she was still under a 30-day warranty of $1,500. The mechanic they sent her to put her over the $1,500 limit, and now they say that they won't fix the car.
Okay. Well, I'm not exactly sure what all that means, but I will say that if you believe that you're entitled to compensation and you have the paperwork to back it up that gives you that right, then your daughter should be filing, in all likelihood, a small claims complaint. If it's under $12,000, you're in Philadelphia, you can file a small claims municipal court complaint against the shop that sold her the car. If it's a corporation, no matter how much you sue them for, they have to get a lawyer to come in and defend themselves. And, you know, you could show that they breached the contract and she gets her money back from the original sale.
Or it gets repaired.
Or it gets repaired. I don't know what the car cost her. How much did the car – do you know what the car cost her, Eddie?
Yes. So it was $16,000. She got a Nissan Rogue. It was $16,000. But we're just trying to find out
what?
Where do we fall under the limit law in New Jersey. It's New Jersey. I do apologize. I didn't say that.
Okay. Well, lemon laws, generally speaking, are for new cars only. So you're where you fall under the lemon laws, you fall out. And but now there could be other causes of action. There could be not under the lemon law, but there are certain other statutes which time doesn't permit us to get into. But there are other statutes that may apply. I'd suggest you give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727. We have attorneys, not in the firm, but we have attorneys that we can refer you to who do consumer protection law like this. They may be interested, but if the amount in controversy isn't significant, I don't know. What's it going to cost to repair the car?
So when we went to the shop...
just give me a number. Give me a number.
Sure,
just,
it was 25, but it was like $7,000 worth of work needed on the car.
Okay, so you got $7,000 potentially in a claim here. You can bring at the district justice level in New Jersey. Somebody may be interested in helping you, especially if there's a statute which would award attorney's fees. So often in these kind of smaller cases, if there's not a statute that they can use that would award attorney's fees, then you may spend $6,000 in attorney's fees to get your $7,000. It's not worth it. She has to do it on her own. She has to man up and that's an appropriate statement. She has to woman up and and get to the district justice and file. All right. I'm running out of time. Eddie, thank you for your great questions.
Good luck, Eddie.
Have a blessed
thank
Saturday.
You so much.
You're welcome. Folks, we're out of it. We'll see you next Saturday, same time, same place.